Succulent treats, sinful sweets, dashing and clashing nights, music and laughter. The Bristol Renaissance Fair is open weekends through Labor Day, located just west of I-94 near the state line.
This is WGTD-FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of education leadership at UW-Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. Today's program features Tanya Reuter, Chief Communications Officer for the Kenosha Unified School District. She's here to talk with us about getting ready for the upcoming school year, what families can do to get their children ready, what teachers and principals are doing to prepare for the arrival of the children, changes that we might see in the school building since last June, and other valuable information for KUSD families, most of which also applies to families anywhere in our listening area. First, a little bit about Tanya. Welcome, Tanya.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Tanya Reuter is the Chief Communications Officer for the Kenosha Unified School District. She has served in her role since 2012, where she oversees all public relations-related activities, media relations, social media, website content and updates, and other various communication needs. Mrs. Reuter holds a Bachelor of Science in Journalism and Public Relations from the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh and a Master of Business Administration from the Florida Institute of Technology. So welcome, Tanya. It's nice to finally meet you. It's been a couple of years. We've been emailing and calling about various shows, and we finally saw each other in person for the first time today.
Yes, it's nice to meet face-to-face.
So first, just tell us some of the most basic information about KUSD. When does the school year officially start? What are the typical start times for elementary, middle, and high schools? Where can families find this information if they don't have a pen handy while they're listening to us right now?
Sure. Well, we are very excited because our school year will officially kick off next Monday, August 6th, when our Frank and Wilson Elementary School students will return. Our teachers joined us yesterday already, and they are preparing their classrooms. They're doing some collaboration, some prep time, lesson planning, you name it. And so they're getting ready for the kids to return on Monday already. So that'll be a very exciting week for us next week as our smiling students return at Frank and Wilson. Our 4K students for Frank and Wilson return on Thursday, August 9th. We do have a little bit of a staggered start for our 4K program. We start them a little bit later just so that they can come in when things are a little bit more settled and it's not so overwhelming for them. As for our regular school year, that is Tuesday, September 4th, is when a majority of our students will return across the district. And then our 4K students will begin on Monday, September 10th. We do have some various hours of the school day. Mostly our elementary schools start somewhere between 7:25 and 8:50. And our middle schools, almost all of them start at 8:35 except for Harborside. They all start at 7:27 at Harborside Academy, and that's whether it's grades 6 through 12. And then most of our high schools range from 7:27 to 8:45. And we have all of this information online on our registration page. So if families go to kusd.edu/registration, they will land on a page where they can do their online enrollment. They can also find our school supply list, our hours of the school day, a link to our open house and building registration times, dates, all of that information. We try to keep it in one neat little package so it's easy for our families when they land on the web page.
Okay, that's very helpful. So do you think the dates are the same for all of the other Wisconsin districts in our listening area?
I do believe, unless they have an extended year school like ours, with the exception that they can receive from the Department of Public Instruction, that most of our neighbors and friends to the north and west are also starting on Tuesday, September 4th. That post-Labor Day time frame is when most school districts in Wisconsin are starting. So it'll be a very busy day in the state of Wisconsin on Tuesday, September 4th.
So if you're listening to this on Saturday, you have 1 month, everyone, to get your children ready for school, children and grandchildren. So How do families register for school in KUSD, and what do they need to do that?
Online registration for our families is now open as early as February. We do that just to give our families time to get it done and out of the way so they don't have to deal with it during the summer. That's one of the beautiful things, is we don't want them to have to take time away from their family, friends, and the fun and sun that they receive for just a few short months in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm excited to share that we're actually over 50% for our registration, which means that we have more than 10,000 students registered, and we still have 10,000 to go. So if people are listening, we would love for them to hop on and get registered. Again, what they would do is go to KUSD.edu/registration, and on there they will find steps on what they need to do to walk through that registration process, the online registration process. This is an annual process for all of our families. Once their child is registered once, they basically go through and they do a verification type of process. Mm-hmm. If they are new to the school district, then we're going to ask them to have some pretty essential items just handy, like the proof of residency, some of their doctor information, medical records, have that stuff handy so that they're prepared to do the registration and get through to the end and complete it in as a whole.
And having done this as a parent in the past, I know that one of the things you ask for is emergency contact numbers and all of those things. So if people have gotten new cell phone numbers or have moved or they have a new emergency contact person that's not the parents, they need to have all of those information, all of those phone numbers and other information ready.
Yes, any bit of information that they can have handy and ready to go, it will make it a lot easier on them during the process. Again, for those who are new, it'll be a little bit longer. For those who are returning, if they don't have a lot of information changing, it should actually be a pretty easy process to go through and just re-register. We did have a point in time between February and July where families could register, but they couldn't pay the fees. So if a family did that earlier on, and that's just due to our fiscal year, mm-hmm. turns over on July 1, so we can't have people paying for something for this coming school year before the year has begun. So we would ask that they just be prepared to go back and pay some of those student fees. But otherwise, everything else can be done, and then those final tidbits are kind of clean up at the building registration versus having to go to the building, do this process on a computer. It just saves them a lot of time when they end up getting to open house or building registration.
Right. So, and I as a parent, I've been through that too. So if you go to the open house, which we'll talk about in a little bit, there is a way to register while you're there. They'll help you through that process. But if you register at home online, you can just skip through that line.
Correct.
So it saves you a lot of time. And since it's now August 4th when this is airing, they can go online and pay the fees. So if you haven't registered yet, you're saving yourself a step. You only have to go once, mm-hmm. register, and pay the fees. So what are the basic fees for registration, and are there any resources for families who can't afford those fees?
Sure. I am just going to note that if somebody is having any issues with registration, we do have a helpline as well with the district.
Okay.
So I would like to share that they can call our enrollment office, and that number is 262-359-7000.
Okay.
And they will be able to speak to Kate, who is our enrollment secretary, and she'll help whether it's a lost password or if they're just having an issue trying to find their child or changing something from year to year. She is there to help and happy to help so that they can get that process done with ease. We do have some student fees. So we basically have base student fees at all of our different levels. This year at the high school level, the base fee is $67. Middle school is $72. Elementary is $44. Preschool is $22, and this includes project materials and workbooks for our students. And there are more fees that we actually have online, and that just differs basically if a student's going to participate in a club or a sport, or there's different kinds of fees that might apply if they're in music, things of that nature, but they don't apply to every single student. Those can be found if somebody's just interested in looking at kusd.edu/families/fees. And that's where they will share the more specific details about which fees are additional and apply to which different programs. We do have some families who are not unable to pay for those mm-hmm. fees, and that's something that we understand, which is why we have Board Policy 3280, which states that the district recognizes that some students may not be able to pay these fees or charges. No student shall be denied the opportunity to participate in school programs or activities because of his or her family's inability to pay necessary fees and charges. The principal shall have the authority to waive the district-wide annual student base fee. So if there's somebody who is actually in a situation where they are unable to pay the fees that I had listed for high school, middle school, and elementary, then they just need to reach out to their building principal, share that concern with the building principal, and the building principal will then begin the process to waive those fees for that family.
So if people showed up in person to register, there would be the principal would be there for them to talk to about that most likely?
Well, that kind of varies. We actually have the registration process right now. If people are looking for assistance, it's being done centrally at the Education Support Center, which is on 52nd Street, mm-hmm. and also at Absola Elementary School. But our building secretaries don't return until the 14th, so we're asking people if they need assistance and they want to go to their school that they don't go to their school until the 16th at the elementary level. Middle and high school, the secretaries are there already, so they could stop in. And I know that gets confusing because mm-hmm. it's here, there, or not there. Basically, if they have questions right now, though, the ESC is the place to go. As for the building or the fee waiver, if they want to talk to their principal, they can certainly just call the school directly and ask to speak to the principal about fee waiver. And then that process will begin. The principal, if they're not there to answer right away, will return the phone call, and they'll have that conversation. But otherwise, again, elementary school, August 16th, they could go back and talk to the secretary, who will then relay that to the principal and start that process. Middle and high school, they could stop at the building now.
Okay. That reminds me, I didn't have a question about this on my list, but the school secretaries, I feel like they're so much more than secretaries. They're sort of everything
yes.
in a school building. And probably the first people you see when you come to visit the school and the people who know everything about the building.
Yes, absolutely. Our secretaries are our gatekeepers. They know who's coming. They know who's going. And that includes our staff, our students, right. our families. They know our children by names. They're that warm smile, that hug, sometimes the nurse when mm-hmm. necessary. So, yes, but we do at our elementary school have 10-month secretaries still, mm-hmm. except for at Absola Creative Arts and Dual Language, where they are 12-month secretary. But all of our other elementary schools are 10-month secretaries. So they are out of the office, and when they return August 14th, we try to just give them a couple days to catch up because they, you know, with being away, they'll have phone calls and mail and all those kind of things. And then August 16th, we say, come on in, because we know that people have been waiting to come in and talk to them, try to find out what they need for the upcoming school year. And our secretaries will definitely be ready and smiling and waiting for them to return. And then at our middles and high schools, the secretaries have been working all summer long and, mm-hmm. and again, preparing for the students and families for fall, really.
Right. So you mentioned already there are some schools with different calendars and maybe slightly different daily schedules. Which schools are they again? And what's the best place for parents to stay informed about calendars and schedules?
Mm-hmm. We have all of our dates for different various events and meetings on our website at kusd.edu. Right on the homepage. Those dates are also going to be in the district wall calendar, which if you were already a family in the district, you should be receiving that either yesterday or in the next couple coming days. You will see it coming in the mail, the very large district wall calendar that gets mailed annually.
I have one right here in front of me. And they're very nice, and they're filled with photos. So first thing you always have to do is check and see if your own kids are in the calendar, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's always one of our favorite times is to have somebody reach out and say, oh, thank you so much for, you know, mm-hmm. featuring so-and-so. And then asking for a couple extra copies, of course, for grandma and grandpa. And
right.
Yeah, we love that part. And then we also have on the registration page, again, the kusd.edu/registration contains our hours of the school day, which gives that very specific start time. Our elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools all have different start times. As you can imagine, with 40 different schools, 20,000 plus students, we have to stagger our busing, so we don't have just a set start time mm-hmm. for any one given school. So our elementary hours of the school day range from, again, roughly 7:25 to 8:50, depending upon the school building. Most middle schools start around 8:35, and then our high schools range from 7:27 to 8:45, more on the earlier end with our high schools as well. And then along the way, our schools, if there's anything that's varied in their own calendar, they'll also push that out to their families. They use their newsletters, their websites. They'll also ask us to put it on the district website. They'll do what they can to make sure the bases are covered so families know what's happening and where they should be and when.
Okay. So what are the social media accounts for KUSD on the various platforms, just in case families aren't sure what to search for if they want to add your Facebook page or whatever?
Sure. Yes, we have our Facebook page is Facebook/Kenosha Schools. We also have Twitter, which is /KUSD. We are on YouTube with our own YouTube channel, which is /Kenosha Schools. And that's a great place where you'll see a lot of our feature videos that also show off a lot of kids. So that's a great place for families to go and see their kids in video, as well as where we show off our employees and what they do, and also where you can see the board meetings that have been taped and or live air-streamed. We are on Instagram at /Kenosha Schools, and we still have Channel 20 for those Time Warner Cable Spectrum subscribers. We do still have our public access channel for Channel 20 as well, and we share a lot of this information. So on our social media platforms. So with the open houses, building registrations, if people aren't following us on social media just yet, they should certainly do that, because we start pushing this stuff out as early as we possibly can. If there's ever a change, we're going to share those corrections on our social media, just because it's one way to get out there and then people can share it with one another. We also, if need be, knock on wood, we have to close schools for like a snow day or something like that, we certainly are using our social media platforms in addition to the traditional radio, TV, text message, email type of communication that we've used in the past. So if people haven't followed us yet, they certainly will find that there's a lot of information shared, plus lots of pictures of smiling children throughout the day.
That's right. Just a little break to say that you are listening to WGTD HD-FM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of back-to-school information and advice with Kenosha Unified School District spokesperson Tanya Reuter is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So we talked a little bit about registration. I wanted to ask, do students need to have a physical or other medical information to start school? Are there resources in the community for families maybe who don't have a regular physician to get that done? And if a child does have a medical need, is there anything families can do right now to make sure everything is ready for them to start school on the first day?
Sure. We actually only require a physical and dental exam for our 4K and kindergarten students. So once you've done that for those 2 years, you don't have to do that again. Now down the road, there might be something for athletics for students, but that is separate from just being enrolled in the school district. And that's why we ask when you're doing the online enrollment, make sure you have your medical information, any kind of doctor notes handy. It does not prevent you, if you haven't gotten those exams, it does not prevent you from enrolling. We would just ask that you get that turned in as soon as possible following the online registration and the completion of registration. We ask that parents, when they sit down, that they have their child's health and immunization information as well as doctor information handy so that they can enter it, because we do have sections where they can enter in the preferred doctor, hospital, things like that on our registration process. And then also making sure that if there's any kind of medical needs or any kind of special needs or requirements for their child, that it is entered into the system so that our staff is prepared and ready to do whatever is necessary to accommodate the child throughout the school year. So as long as it's in the system and it's put in with all the required information that would be needed if there are any kind of special needs, allergies, things of that nature, medications needed, then we can provide the best care possible to their child going forward, and then they can feel comfortable leaving them in our hands throughout the day. We do have some families that we know that don't have access to the medical care or the health care, and that's why we're happy to have partners in the Kenosha County Health Center or the health department, where they offer little to no cost type of immunizations or physicals or exams. It would be best to reach out to those organizations. I don't know of any kind of like event or anything coming up necessarily, but they certainly have that on an ongoing basis where if the family reaches out, then they'll work with them directly just to get their child taken care of, screened, and ready for the school year.
Okay. What sorts of supplies do children need for the first day of school?
Yes. Well, we have a nice robust list of school supplies, and it varies by grade level. So what you need in kindergarten, obviously, is not what you need in 12th grade. But that information is also found on the kusd.edu/registration. I'm feeling like a broken record at this point.
Well, the good thing is that you've repeated it enough times that people should get it at some point.
So that is listed right on there so that as parents register, click that button, print it off. A lot of the stores in our community actually have those handy as well. They have them printed and ready for the families to come in and buy school supplies. But some of the basics are going to be pencils, pens, erasers, glue sticks, backpacks, dry erase markers, folders, spirals, tissues, other various items, some things, you know, at the older grade levels, some earbuds, things like that, where it gets a little bit more technology-based as the kids grow and learn. But definitely just printing that list off, it is definitely updated. It's on that registration page, and they can take it with them. And right now you have a few tax-free days in the state of Wisconsin. I believe that runs through Sunday.
So
that's a benefit for families. If they're going to go do some school shopping, they can also save a little bit of money if they wanted to be ahead of the game at this point.
Right. And my experience is if you don't get in by the beginning of August, a lot of the, say, spiral notebooks in a particular color are all gone. So you might want to get out there, families, and buy supplies. It seems like it's still summer, and it still is, but it feels good to have all that stuff put away and not have to think about it at the end of August.
Yes, you can check it off your list and just be done with
right.
it.
Right. So maybe if it rains sometime in the next few days, you can drop in. So if families have difficulty affording supplies, are there some resources for them?
Yes. So I don't have any particular events right now. I haven't had anybody reach out to me just yet, but I know that I will. We always do have different groups reach out. We have our local organizations, churches. We've had different radio stations, and they do different kinds of drives and for school supplies of different levels. Sometimes it's backpacks, sometimes it's just paper, sometimes it's a variety of things. But we have an amazing community who come together for those who might not be able to afford all of the school supplies on the list. So what I would recommend is that people, again, follow us on our social media page, and we'll also post it on our website if something is shared with us of something upcoming. And we will certainly get that shared out to our community. We have over 14,000 people who follow us on there, so we know that our families will see what people are sharing with us. Also, if there's an organization who hasn't yet reached out to us to share and they're planning to have something, I know that a lot of times they'll put it in the Kenosha News, but also share it with us because we can get it out to our families and get the people in need to them so that we can make that connection. So if they have something that they're planning, by all means, please reach out to me. At the district, and I will make sure that we get that shared in an appropriate way.
Okay, so if you're listening, community groups, what's the best way to contact you, Tanya?
They can reach me by phone at 359-7612, or they can shoot me an email at trud@kusd.edu.
Okay, so that's great. Yes, I've noticed there are lots of events like that in the community, and it is really heartwarming to know that, you know, people are looking out for each other.
Yes.
So that's a good thing.
Yes, and I know that like you just said, we're not quite in that mindset because we just moved into August at this point. But I mean, Hobby Lobby already has out Christmas trees, so we can start getting out the school supplies.
Oh, there have been ads and lots of school supply stuff going on. They all have their separate sections put out at Target and Shopko and all the other places. So let's say you're listening, you're a grandparent, a parent of somebody in the school district. You've already registered. You've already paid your fees. You've bought your school supplies. The back-to-school clothes are in the closet. But there might be a few other things that families can do to just start preparing their children for the school year. So what's some things that people could be doing just to kind of get everyone maybe psychologically ready for this change in the schedule?
Yes, and it's certainly something that we're doing in my own household as well right now. And it can be difficult because we need a routine with our children. We need to have that bedtime routine set. And I know in the summertime it slides a little bit. It stays light out longer. And so kids tend to stay up a little bit longer, sleep in a little bit later. But just trying to get back to that routine, trying to get that nighttime routine set, whether that means you're sitting down and reading a book and then saying lights out a little bit earlier than they had been, and maybe progressing and starting maybe 2 weeks in advance, and then just progressing it a little bit so that by the time September 4th rolls around, you're in your routine. As well as same thing with the morning, getting the kids to get up on time, whether it's setting the alarm or getting them up and getting them to do the whole breakfast toothbrush routine of the everyday life that is about to set in come September. It's just going to make it easier, not just on your child for when school starts, but on the whole family. It helps to be back to that routine so everybody can get out in the out of the house on time and get to school or the bus stop on time. And then just if there's anything, you know, learning has been happening all throughout the summer, especially in Kenosha Unified. We had summer school, summer programs, camps, you name it. And we've had a ton of students participating in that. But, you know, having all students kind of getting back in the mindset of some of their learning, if there's any kind of summer projects or, again, just picking up a book and reading for a little bit, that's something that will help get them back into the routine of school, which is going to be here in a blink of an eye.
I wonder if the middle and high school students who have their own KUSD email accounts, do you think they might have messages from their teachers or anything like that? Or is that really doesn't happen until after school starts?
I don't know that that would be happening yet. Uh-huh. I don't know that that would be happening just yet. It might be a little bit too early because we still have 50% out who are still needing to register. So
right.
We,
yes, yeah. It would be too soon because if somebody wanted to suggest a reading or assignment, they would miss a bunch of students because they weren't registered.
Yeah, right. I do know that at the end of the year, those kind of recommendations are made as mm-hmm. the students are leaving. The teachers are definitely trying to help the kids stay engaged and focused on their learning.
One of the questions that came up when we were just talking right now is about school lunch. So students who want to take school lunch or who are eligible for free and reduced lunch, mm-hmm. is there something special they have to do to register and make sure they have lunch to eat on the first day of school?
Yes. So part of registration, I don't know the exact part, if it's part of the registration or if you would do it separately, but you can certainly go in and you can, we use My Lunch Bucks, I believe, mm-hmm. is the name of it. And so they would go in and they would fill that account so that it's ready for the school year. There is a form that must be filled out for free and reduced lunch. So if a student is going to be participating in that program, then they just have to get that form filled out and dropped off either at their school or at the central office on 52nd Street. And then that child, that will be reviewed. And then if they qualify, they'll receive that free and reduced lunch for the school year. We do also have a few schools, and I don't know the name of the entire list, where all students are part of the community program, which is through a federal program where no student has to pay because of the level of poverty for some mm-hmm. of our schools. So we have some schools that are already offering free lunches to every single student, whether they're free and reduced or not.
Mm. So another thing I know that's been going on this summer is some work on the school buildings, mm-hmm. and you have a special safety grant. There's remodeling on some of the older buildings and installing air conditioning, which will make a lot of people very happy. But in addition to that, I know you're working on some safety issues in the buildings. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. So we do have a long list of things. Some of it you obviously see as you drive by, whether you're passing Tremper or Bullen or Lance, you can see some of the work being done. We have some of our energy renovation project is what's happening there. And for example, at Tremper, we have some new boilers, chillers, emergency generator going in, some new entrance additions. We're also putting the air conditioning, like you said, on both floors of the east half at this point. So It's not the entire building. This has to be done in stages. Tremper's huge, obviously. And then there's going to be a new library. There's two new sets of restrooms. There's new windows. So Tremper is going to have a new look and feel when our students return this fall. We also have Bullen and Lance. We're finishing up some of the energy renovations there. They're in phase two, which is including some of the auditorium and gymnasium updates. Ruther and Summers had some air conditioning projects that we were doing. Getting that fixed up, spruced up. Curtis Strange will have some new parking lot surfaces. We've had some roofing projects done at Stoker, some tuck pointing at McKinley. We've had some new lighting at Stoker and K-Tech West. We've had a new stairwell at Roosevelt. And we also had a new KUSD, a new cooling system for our data center at the ESC building, which that is all of our computer systems for a very large district, so that's very important. And then we had some new ventilation for the kitchen at the ESC. For most people, they think when they drive by, they think that's a very large building filled with tons of people. It's actually a very large building filled with very few people and lots of stuff. We have our warehouse for our entire district there, mm-hmm. and then we have our central kitchen, and we actually make thousands and thousands of meals on a daily basis and then ship them out to the schools rather than making them at each individual school location. So most people don't realize the majority of that building is warehouse and kitchen. So mm-hmm. this was a new project that will help that group run efficiently in the back. And then we did, yes, have the safety initiative grant, which that came out this past spring. I want to say it was around April. Governor Walker had announced the school safety initiative, and this was on the heels of very unfortunate Parkland incident. And so he had put out that they would have $100 million in grants available for school districts. And we had submitted our application. We have a really, really good school safety liaison, Pat Finnemore. He's our facilities director. And so he's in our buildings all the time, very knowledgeable about all of our buildings, any kind of safety or security issues that might exist. And he's always trying to stay on top of the trends. What's new, what's out there, what would actually work for our buildings, you know, what's compatible. And so he already had ideas of what are some things that we could be doing. When the grant came out, of course, a lot of the talk in our community, from our parents, from our staff, as well as administration, was school resource officers, having more armed officers in our schools at all levels. We do have school resource officers at our high school level. We have off-duty middle school or officers at our middle schools, but we don't have them at our elementary schools. Unfortunately, this grant was very specific that it would not be able to be used for personnel. It is a one-time grant. Obviously, a resource officer is an ongoing cost because they get an annual salary, and so we couldn't ask for money for that. But we did have some other things more preventative in nature or tools that would help us if an incident were to occur. And so we were awarded $888,788. We were the first district to receive this because, as I said, Mr. Finnemore was on top of it. He knew what he wanted for our schools. And a lot of the work on installing these items is already underway. We've had some protective film, which doesn't make the windows bulletproof, but it does make them shatterproof. So rather than being able to shoot out a window and enter a building, this will only allow the bullet to make a small hole. We have also had new intercoms and buzzers at the main entrances of our schools. The difference in this tool is that they already existed, but they were old. And this will give them a much clearer picture, allow them to see full body, so it gives a lot more protection, a lot more security, a higher level of security when they're reviewing who's at the door and trying to enter our schools. And then we also have our gunshot detection systems going in at many of our schools right now as well. And that is a system where if the gunshot goes off, it will automatically trigger our system to start notifying people within the building that there is an intruder. And it also allows the police department, once they're notified, to jump in and look at where the shot spot or the gunshot detection system had gone off and then pull up the cameras that are nearby so that they can try to find the intruder more quickly. In addition, we're going to have some staff training that will be, actually, we just had it, I think, last week for performing school safety assessments. So that's going through and seeing, like, okay, are these doors okay? Are we missing locks here? Are these windows secure? That kind of thing. Just having more staff who know how to do that. We're also going to have some trauma-informed care and nonviolent crisis intervention training for our teachers and our educators in our buildings, just helping them. That's part of that preventative nature of if you see a child struggling, what are some of the warning signs so that we can help get or so we can get them the help they need versus having them go down the path of becoming
violent.
Becoming violent or planning something horrific. And then we also added in some flashing blue lights. This ties in with our notification system. This is for those spaces where maybe it's noisy and loud. You think about gym class, you have the music blaring, kids are playing, you know, kickball or dodgeball, whatever it might be, and they can't hear necessarily the system which is alerting them. The flashing blue lights will tell them something's happening and it's time to get into our ALICE procedures. And then it's also very good for those who are hard of hearing or hearing impaired. So we do have quite a few things with that project actually going into place so that it'll be ready for the kids when they return in the fall.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yes, our facilities team is extremely busy in the summer.
I know that list of all the different things that you're doing just in the sort of basic maintenance and remodeling, it was kind of intense. I bet that was a lot of personnel, very busy.
Yes, and we do have some contract help, but definitely our facilities team is working around the clock. They definitely spend the summer months in a tizzy just getting ready. I mean, you have the custodians who are, it's even the time when we get the floors waxed, the classrooms cleaned, and so they do an amazing job. And then when those doors open on September 4th, you walk in and our buildings are pristine. I mean, we have a facilities team who knows what they're doing, and as a staff member, as a community member, it's a point of pride for sure, mm-hmm. that our buildings can look as good as they do and that they keep them as well and in as good of shape as they do for our families, mm-hmm. and our students.
Right. Just like if you're a homeowner, you have to maintain and clean, mm-hmm. and all of that. That's a big part of running a school and a school district.
Yes.
So just a quick reminder that you're listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert. This is Education Matters. We're discussing back-to-school information and advice with Kenosha Unified School District spokesperson Tanya Reuter. And this is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So there was a lot about school buildings. What are teachers and principals doing during the summer? I think there are a lot of people who assume that they're off all summer. I personally don't know any teachers or principals who are off the whole summer. So what are some things that have been going on during the summer months?
Yes, I think that might be one of the funniest questions that an educator receives, no matter what role they have, is, isn't it great to have the summers off? And they just think, oh, that would be great. You know, like,
right.
That would be amazing.
School just ended on, like, June 13th, right?
Right.
And so, you know, it's only been 6 weeks, but I know a lot of teachers have been doing lots of things. So tell us about that.
Yes, they come in and they're either preparing their classroom before the year, you know, the school year ends, and they're already thinking about the next school year. So we have a lot of things that are happening. But despite just focusing on their classroom and their lesson plans, we have teachers who sign up to help us with summer school. We have summer recreation departments. For those who don't know, the recreation department actually is run through the district. And so we have summer playground programs that our students participate in. We have a lot of sport programs for our students to participate in through the rec department. We also have a lot of teachers who sign up to come in, and they actually research, review, and then write the curriculum for years to come. And so they spend hours upon hours, or they're looking at different kinds of materials that might be used in the future, or things that we can change and implement, and it's amazing. And it's, you know, these teachers who are just giving their knowledge and expertise throughout the summer, and they spend a lot of time doing it.
I know that we hosted for 2 days a group of science teachers who were working on curriculum to include earth science in the high school curriculum for those students who aren't able to take a separate earth science class. So, you know, they spent 2 days with us at Carthage doing that. So that's just a handful of people. I know that kind of work was going on all over the district. So.
Yes. Yeah, it's on any given day, we have a full building with people coming in for a different type of review or research, and it's amazing, and we're thankful for their knowledge and expertise and that they're willing to do that during their summertime. We also are spending our time hiring for staff vacancies and positions, getting ready to make sure that our classrooms are fully staffed when our students return in September. We do a lot of our professional training and professional learning events during the summer, and that's whether they're in district, which we do a lot of our own in-house training, or if they're attending a conference or going somewhere locally, regionally. We're getting buildings ready, as you heard just a little bit ago. And then we have our budget turnover from June to July. That's a huge undertaking for our finance department. So that department is very, very busy. And then they also go through an audit of the past year's budget to make sure that everything is up to snuff. And so it's a very intense time for them, but they always survive and they come out with a good result. We focus on our enrollment and staff projections so that we can gauge where we're going to be at for the next year. And again, making sure that our classroom levels stay where they need to be, keeping our classes within board policy, and making sure that we're meeting the needs of all of our students and staff. We do our technology enhancements. We do some data reviews at the district level, at the building level, making sure that we're looking where do we need to focus a little bit more and how can we help our students a little bit better. We focus on upgrading our board policies throughout the year. And then, again, the safety upgrades that, thanks to the grant, have been underway this entire summer as well.
Right. So there's a lot going on, and the teachers really aren't off, and the principals especially are not off, and the central office is for sure not off during the summer. So when do teachers officially arrive back?
Well, we had our first groups yesterday at Wilson and Frank. It was very exciting, and they were working collaboratively, and they're going through some little trainings and pieces before they start preparing their classrooms for the students to return on Monday. And then we have the bulk of our teachers returning on August 28th. They spend a lot of time when they return with collaborative time as they plan for the year ahead. They do some preparing of lesson plans, and then they just get their classrooms ready because, again, you know, our facilities teams were in there waxing, and so things are moved around, and they have to get themselves back in order and feeling good for the beginning of the school year. We have our building secretaries, aside from Frank and Wilson, returning at the elementary level on August 14th. Our middle and high school secretaries are already there, but they'll be catching up and then handling registrations with our families as well. And then we have our new educators who also join us on August 23rd. We bring them a little bit earlier for some onboarding and some new teacher orientation type things, just to get them more acclimated to the district before we send them off to work with their colleagues on some of the collaborative pieces. Mm-hmm.
And there'll be open houses for students and parents. When are they?
Yes, we actually have Frank and Wilson having theirs tonight from 4 to 5:30.
Which actually, since this is airing on Saturday, they will already have had theirs. But that's okay.
Sorry about that. Yes, and then all of our other elementary schools are on Thursday, August 30th. We do have some middle and high school events for students. I would recommend that people look, though, at the district wall calendar or go to KUSD.edu/registration and look at the open house sheet, just because it varies. There's, for the middle school, we have what we call gear up, but there's gear up session A, B, C. So to find out where you fall and which one you should attend, I would highly recommend, because me listing it right now in the air would be far too confusing for everybody. But they can find that online for sure.
So we only have about a minute left, and I just wanted to ask you about that first day and how everybody feels and sort of what's happening and what happens with the central office. Do you all go out to the schools, and what's that like?
Yeah, our first day is very, very exciting in Kenosha Unified. We have our administrative and supervisor technical team all disperses out to our 40 different schools, so we try to cover as much ground as possible. We pick 1, 2, 3 schools, depending upon the times of when the schools start, and we go out, and we're just an extra set of hands, an extra smile. At the elementary school, we might be an extra hug, whether it's for a child who's upset because it's their first day of kindergarten, or for that mom or dad who's having a hard time letting go. At the middle and high school, it's maybe just giving a high five, an extra smile, and just saying welcome back, because we're excited. We wouldn't be here without them, and they are the reason that we do everything every single day. So we are more than excited to have our students returning. They are our favorite part of what we do, and we are looking forward to their return.
So let's just quickly review one more time. What day does school start for most of our schools? And also, how can families get the best information if they need to register or do any of the other things that we discussed?
Mm-hmm. A majority of our families need to be prepared for Tuesday, September 4th, and then they should check to see what time school starts by visiting KUSD.edu/registration.
Okay, a big thank you to our guest today, Tanya Reuter, who's the Director of Communications for Kenosha Unified School District. You've been listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this has been Education Matters. This discussion of back-to-school information will be archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You're invited to listen again, or you can go to our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support for WGTD comes from Classic Violins. Suzuki Camp will be offered by certified trained teacher Donna Curry. Lessons will be offered as private, one-on-one, or 2 to 3 students per class. One class for 45 minutes a week, all ages and experience levels welcome. ClassicViolins.com.
Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring Tika Woodworking, handmade wood creations including dog bowls and trash and recyclable receptacles. All items are painted and coated with polyurethane. Kenosha Harbor Market is open Saturday.